You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Cantlive alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall for two events this week. We have the True Thailand Classic on the European Tour and the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Mike Grenham.
Hello, David.
How are you, sir?
All good, all good.
And Dave Tindall?
Hello.
Good week for you last week, Dave.
Yeah, it was a good week. Danny Willett doing the business for the each way payout there, and Bubba so close as well.
Yeah, Adam Scott winning back-to-back. Incredible comeback from Scott with two double bogeys on the front nine when it looked like Rory McIlroy had the championship in his grasp. He's shown that grittiness and mental resolve recently, Scott, with that short putter now. And going back-to-back on the PGA Tour is no mean feat.
No, no mean feat. And the week before, he had a quad, of course, didn't he?
Yeah.
So two doubles this week. So he is showing resilience, which you wouldn't have always put him down. Been his strongest point. You certainly weren't after the Open Championship last year, were you?
You had to bring that up, didn't you? We only
did.
We're a minute and a half into the podcast, and the first dig into my ribs has arrived.
Yeah, but good effort by DT there. Yeah, Danny Willett played ever so well. Kind of elevated his game to yet another notch higher up, hasn't he? And Bubba went very close. In fact, Adam Scott, you could say, was a little bit lucky on that last hole, because that could easily have gone into the briny, couldn't it?
It could. And I always think this, when you've got someone in the mix, you tend to think you're cursing the golfing gods. But if you've got no one in the mix in that circumstance, you're thinking, oh, he deserves that bit of luck for that comeback on the back nine.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones. If it happened at hole 11 in round two, no one really bothers, do they? Because it's the last hole.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was his bit of luck for the week. It just happened to be on the last hole.
All that talk in the off-season about the big three as well, Mike, thinking about Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth and Jason Day. Mm-hmm. Ricky Fowler's thrown his hat into the ring earlier on in the season. Adam Scott now with a second-place finish followed by two wins. Are we talking about a big five, or is it just the strength of the game?
You're not mentioning Bubba.
Oh, Bubba Watson, of course. Yeah, big six.
Yeah. Definitely Bubba. I'd have above Fowler and Scott, personally. Probably. There's chances for big six. There's a lot of good players out there. I don't know. I have a funny feeling that Spieth and McIlroy are still the big two.
Okay.
But there might be a big six after that. Does that make sense?
What did you think to McIlroy's performance as well, Mike? Because obviously changed his putting grip before the tournament and putted well throughout.
Yeah.
But performance on Sunday was bitterly disappointing. It was more down to ball striking rather than putting.
Yeah, I think he just had a bit of an off round, to be honest, Dave. I wouldn't read too much into it. I thought he played a lot better this week than he had been doing, so you could argue he's coming to the boil nicely for Augusta.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, it was one of those rounds. He didn't get an early birdie. Sort of missed the birdie at the par 5 open, and then he just sort of got slightly just out of sync a little bit, and they're funny, those rounds. You can see them coming. They see it's just not his day. And so, like Mike said, nothing to worry about. I think it was a tied third in a WGC event.
It's not exactly failure, is it?
No. It's,
he wouldn't want to be over par, would he, on the final round when he's leading? Of course he wouldn't, but his golf certainly on a couple of rounds was very good.
Let's get stuck into this week then. We start with the True Thailand Classic, which is a European Tour event, co-sanctioned event, and Songchai Jaidi is the favourite at 12-1 here with William Hill. Yus Loughton is 16s, Kiriadek Apibanrat in the betting at 20s, Thomas Peters is 22-1, Alexander Levy is 25s along with Peter Uihlein, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And the Black Mountain Golf Club, Dave, is once again the host course for the second edition of this championship. The field this event has attracted isn't exactly stellar. It's a field we have come to expect, I think, in the early season on the European Tour. We do have a bit of course form to go on. This course obviously hosted last year, and it's hosted Asian Tour events as well as the Royal Trophy. So, got something to go on this week.
Yeah. I always think if sort of Gregory Bord is about six favourite, that sort of is a measure of the field, how strong it is. Seems to always be kind of in these sort of fields,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, I get that.
It's not the worst fielder. There are some decent Europeans, and a lot of sort of French players, I think, seem to be prominent in the betting and deservedly so, because they've had some good weeks. And then the guys obviously played well in it last year. Scott Henn probably should have won it last year. They had a bad final round. Jaidi, who missed the WGC with a virus. People on Twitter informed me I sort of missed that. But yes, he had a virus and didn't fly to... He pulled out of the Malaysia one and then didn't fly to Doral. Although I wonder if he thought, well, it's a lot of long way to go, isn't it?
Long way to go.
Especially on a bomber's course.
When you're about 100 yards short.
Yeah. Do I need to go all the way and finish tied 56 and wreck my chance for obviously an important event for him, his home event there?
Yeah,
so
it could have been a tactical lap, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think he's not short of a bob or two, is he?
I saw someone on Twitter post an excerpt from a book where Stephen Bowditch had said about playing in those WGC events. He said something like, I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, it's fine because even if I shoot four rounds in the 80s and finish last, I still pick up $40,000. and he did. You think he finished around about 50 shots behind Adam Scott in the end.
Dreadful scenes.
In that event.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, precisely. What do you make to the golf course? It's a course that measures 7,346 yards, and there's water in play on numerous holes. But from my reading of the situation, Dave, it's a golf course where the bombers can go hog wild here because it's quite open.
That's a good phrase.
Hog wild.
Well done, I like that.
Yeah, very good. You can spray. You look at the driving accuracy stats of those who did well last year. They're knocking it all over the shop, like Scott Hend, for example. And I'm going to do one pick in this event. It's someone who does sort of lash it all over the place. So, there's nothing to be scared of, I think, if your man is long and wild.
I'm not going hog wild on this.
No, you're sitting this one out.
I'm going hog.
Pig quiet.
Pig careful.
No, I'm not having a bet, but there's a couple of players I'm really watching very closely. Thomas Peters and Peter Uihlein, the two that I've on my mind to have good years. So I'll be watching them, and maybe Jaus Lowton as well. Watch him.
I'm in the boat. I'm not having a bet in this event, but Thomas Peters was closest for me at 22-1 as my just because I think that if you look at that field, I believe he's the one that could elevate himself above the rest of the players in the lineup. So he'd be my pick, Thomas Peters, but form's dipped slightly recently.
Yeah, I've gone for someone, also a young player who can win, has won twice. Alexander Levy, he's going to be my tip.
Okay.
25
there was a
to
little
one.
Bit of a clue in the French players doing well.
Yeah, I see.
Reverse engineering there.
Yeah.
Ah, very good. So Levy lost a little bit of form, but he was a two-time winner a couple of years ago. Someone who does really go for it, doesn't he? Goes for the flags, Levy. Can miss shots, but he doesn't seem to bother him. Very positive attitude. He was struggling a little bit then. He had a top 25 in Malaysia. Then he finished runner-up in Perth behind the almost unbeatable Oosthuizen that week. So it was a very good performance there by Levy. And he's had a lot of success in Asia as well. He's won in China. He's also shown up very well last year in China. Last time he played in Thailand... Played in that Thailand Golf Championship, which isn't just an Asian tour event, isn't it? But I think Bubba's played in it. Tracks a good field. He was third in that when he last played it. So he's got a lot of good form in Asia, some good current form. I think this course will suit him.
I agree.
Those three elements. I'm not pretending 25-1 is great, but I'm almost thinking, well, give him a good first round and he'll be 9-1 or something, because it's a sort of lots of sort of middle to lightweights in this field. As you said, Peters might be the best of them. Jaidi will probably sort of plod along and finish eighth or something. So I think it's there to be grabbed this tournament, and Levy's someone who can go out and win.
Yeah, I think you've been kind to the field, saying there's a lot of lightweights in there. I think there's some featherweights in there this week. Tongchai Jaidi is the 12-1 favourite. Alexander Levy, 25-1. Mike, have you got anything to add here?
Yeah, I was slightly caught there by seeing that Lee Slattery was 66-1, which just struck me as a big price. I was just checking his form there on the European Tour website. He finished 66 in the Dubai Desert Classic last time out, which isn't two or three average rounds there. In fact, probably poor rounds, but fourth the time before in Qatar. That could be a big price, couldn't it? 66 is in this field.
Could well.
Yeah, I wouldn't... That wouldn't surprise me. But other than that, the couple of players I mentioned in here. But he has caught my eye there a little bit. I'll have to have a little more of a look at that. I wouldn't have expected him to be quite that price.
Let's move on to the Valspar Championship, which is this week's main event on the PGA Tour. And Jordan Spieth is the 9-2 favourite here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson, 14-1. Danny Willett is 20s. Jason Duffner, 25s. Louis Oosthuizen is 28s, along with Patrick Reed. And it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. This is an event I love, Mike, because it's an old-style classic golf course. Copperhead's hosted the tournament since its inception back in 2000. Even though it's been given a facelift since last year's edition, the routing remains the same. It's still that traditional par 71. But there is the added element of five par threes and four par fives on the golf course. But it doesn't discriminate, this golf course, does it? You can go well if you're a bomber, but if you're a plotter, you've got a chance as well.
Correct. Whereas last week, it was even more pronounced, the benefit for the bombers, wasn't it, than the previous year. Here, it's a more of an all-round game, and probably, if anything, favours the plotters rather than the plodders. Plotters more than the long hitters. So I think strokes tee to green. Putting's been important here in the past few years, but the kind of interesting thing this year is that they've got different grass on the greens now, haven't they? They've changed to a different...
That champion Bermuda.
Yeah, so I don't know whether that'll have any effect at all, but it certainly confuses things slightly.
That golf course last week, that place wants bombing, I think, Doral.
You're not a fan?
Not a fan, no.
It's a bit one-dimensional, isn't it?
I mean, that's the top 20 on the leaderboard there. Unless you hit it 300-plus yards off the tee, you had next to no chance. I know Duffner and McDowell both went reasonably well, but never really in contention. It's just a smashers place, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, but surely that's good then. It's easy to predict the winners.
It is, but I think now everyone's cottoned on to the
prices.
The prices.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say last week. The prices of the bombers are all very short, aren't they? Like JB Holmes was 25-1, wasn't he? And he wasn't cited in the event. Yeah,
I think next year, I mean, we might not be back there, which is probably good news, but I think if it did go back to Doral next year, you'd see every single bomber priced ridiculously short in the market, and all those guys that can't hit it 300 plus off the tee are almost no hopers.
Yeah, I don't think it makes for absolutely fascinating view. No. I'd be with you. This is a bit more of an interesting test this week, isn't it? A bit more. It's better when more people have a chance of winning, isn't it?
Definitely. And this event last year, of course, Dave, was a catalyst for Jordan Spieth because won here and then went on to win two major championships on his next two starts in majors.
Yeah, as you say, it was kind of the thing that set him off, the catalyst for that incredible season. Which I was thinking about his season the other day and thinking, you might not see that again for 30 years, mightn't you?
And it's just passed us by.
Well, you might not see it ever.
Yeah.
Could have won all four very easily.
It's crazy, isn't it, really? But he's definitely, I think, there's a feeling that he's come back down to earth now, and I think that's a terrible price for him this week.
Do you?
Yeah, I just don't like that at all.
If you think that, it's making the market, I suppose, Mike.
Yeah, I think it is making the market. I'm delighted he's playing because I think he's just off at the minute and he's not right.
Well, he wasn't going to win at Doral, probably, was he? He's not long enough for there. I didn't think he played that badly there, but the week before, whenever I backed him a couple of weeks ago, he was really poor in one of the rounds. So, yeah, the jury's out on him slightly at the moment. I wouldn't be taking 9-2 either. Yeah.
I'm not taking 9-2, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest
absolutely.
If he won on this golf course.
Fair enough, but
he's still, as it stands, the best player in the world. So, you know, that's the ranking saying at the moment. You'd be tempted to believe him. He's not the most informed golfer in the world, though, is he? So, let's see whether he bounces back this week.
Just before we get stuck into the picks in this championship as well, Mike, course form seems important here. We've had a couple of two-time winners in KJ Choi and Retief Goosen, and you see the same names pop up on the leaderboard.
Well, I've gone for two players that have got good course form. I think it's very important here.
Dave?
Mike's just said the words I was going to use.
Same thing?
Yeah, and I think we've got the same pick as well, one of them anyway.
Have we?
I've got just one pick here, so you two chaps got two picks each.
Well, Dave's on fire at the moment, so go on, Dave, you go first.
I should say his Christian name, you say his surname. Kevin
Streelman?
Yes. There you go. That is a good price, 66-1, that is a good price on Kevin Streelman.
Well, interestingly, Dave, just to interrupt slightly, he was 50s.
Out?
Yeah, he was 50s and he's gone out to 66, so... So it was only in here that I was going to say, oh, really, close to doing Kevin Streelman, but 50s was just a bit short. Right. And I saw 66.
Yeah.
My eyes popped out a bit.
Trigger pulled.
It doesn't often go that way, does it? We normally it the other way.
We normally hex them, don't we? But yeah.
You said about we've had two double winners here. Well, I had a lot. The last four winners of this tournament had previously all had a top 10 at the course.
Mm. Right, so that's interesting.
And obviously, Streelman, as a former winner, fits that category. And before he won that, he was 10th the year before. He was also second at halfway last year, which I think gets overlooked because he had a poor weekend. But I've had a look through his quotes. The one you always want to see, it suits my eye really well off the tee, so he said that. Last three winning scores, minus 10, minus 7, minus 10, so that's good. Kevin Streelman likes those tough tests. He's just in really good form, isn't he? He's had three top 20s in his last four starts.
Yep.
Third place at Torrey Pines, tied 17th at Pebble Beach. And if you look at his numbers, he's been in the top five for greens in reg in three of that, in all those three top 20s. Yeah, so he's really hitting it well. The scene of his first PGA Tour, which was always makes it a little bit special as well, doesn't it? I just think it's a really, really good price, and I can't believe he's gone out.
Yeah, 66. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I agree with all of that.
I thought 50s was okay, to be honest.
I was close at 50s, but 66 has tempted me in. My only one reservation is if it does be putting, his putting isn't outstanding, is it? But with the new greens, it might bring everyone down to a level playing field. Mm. So I was very close to him, and let's play with similar kind of credentials, Russell Knott, so I'm not picking. Isn't putting that great either, but they're both really good strokes tee to green men, aren't they? And I'm with you there, Dave. 66 to 1 will do for me.
Streaky as well, Streelman. Streaky, yeah. Streelman, because he can't get it going on the greens quickly, and 66 to 1.
Isn't there an event the other year when he has seven birdies in a row or something?
Yeah, he is a bit like that. There was. I can't remember whether it was seven, but he certainly came with a massive run, didn't he? I think he missed out in the end, he did, didn't he? He didn't win, but 66 to 1 is not a bad price.
Very good. Streelman for both Dave and Mike. I'm going for Harris English as my number one pick here.
That's going
my
as well.
That's my number two pick.
Is it your number two? Well, agreeing going on in the studio. Yeah, 33 to 1 it is a good price. I think it's a fair price for a guy with a perfect blend of course form and current form, which is, I think, what we're looking for most weeks. Played well at Doral last week to finish in a tie for 10th. That followed on the back of a third-place finish recently in Phoenix. And course form here, 7th here in 2013, 10th last year when he finished really strongly. Last week he was very good in the all-around rankings as well. And I think this is a venue where you need to be in control of every facet of your game. So that bodes well. And I always remember when English is playing, the comments he's made in the past about loving tree-lined golf courses, like this one is at Copperhead. I think he's made comments both here and when playing Colonial about the courses that he likes to play, where you've got to shape the ball both ways, because those are the types of venues he grew up playing in South Georgia. So loves this venue, in good form, solid player. Harris English at 33s is my pick.
Yeah, just to add a little bit of detail, he won the Southern Amateur there on that course.
Right.
Back in the day. So he says it's a course that's got great memories. It's treated him well. You said he was six on the all-around last week.
Right.
Which he's saying it takes a good test of all the elements. Yeah, and just all his quotes, just saying, I love this golf course. It's very old school compared to last week, obviously.
That is what he likes, Harris English.
Yeah, the one little surprising thing that got me was he's only missed one cut since May. That's good, isn't it?
That is good. I didn't notice that.
You would have thought he'd been a bit more in and out. But
he was in and out before that, wasn't he? Yeah. He seems to have got a good run of form.
He goes through his results. He's got a load of top 25s, maybe just because he hasn't been getting the top 5s and 10s so much. But he obviously got one the other week, didn't he? That third, and then his 10th last week. Just think it's all lined up for him to have a really big week.
Very good. Harris English, then?
Yeah. My first bet of the week's down. I thought you'd be on Webb Simpson this week.
I was very tempted. Very close to being a pick for me. Just mentioned it momentarily off air as well. I love the way he's playing, but that withdrawal from the Honda Classic is definitely playing on my mind, given he's not played golf for a month. Did have those top 20s on his last three starts, and obviously got the course form as well here, having finished runner-up behind Woodland that year.
Woodland, yeah.
I think we were both on Simpson
that
year.
I think we were, yeah.
And Woodland pipped us. which was frustrating at the time because
we'd been
you were a huge fan of Woodland.
Woodland and missed out. I definitely didn't back him. So yeah, in fact, we were both on Simpson, weren't we? As I remember it.
That they say, don't they, about this course? Florida courses tend to be sort of flat and open. This one is more undulated and tree lined. It's more like the Carolinas, where
it doesn't look like a Florida
Webb
golf
Simpson
course at all,
from,
does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's one of those courses in Florida that you think it's almost been dropped there. Yeah. You know, it's not a Florida type golf course. Mike?
My second, well, actually, it was my headline pick, to be fair, is Ryan Moore, who actually led here after 54 holes last year, but kind of fell back a bit to fifth place. He's also got an eighth here 7 or 8 years ago. A couple of miscuts, to be absolutely truthful, also in the last 2 or 3 years at this course. But he's in very good form with 4 top 11s from his last 6 starts, including last time out a 10th in the Northern Trust. Before that, he had a miscut at the Pebble, but he did have an 11th at Phoenix. Played well in the CIMB and also in the Fry. So in very good form currently. A good strokes tee to green man. Strokes gain tee to green, that is. Putting pretty decent as well this season. So, I think he just likes the course. He's the right sort of player who'll plot it round. Experience, got a couple of wins to his name. Hopefully be able to add to that. And 4,200 strikes me as a decent each-way price for Ryan Moore. Very, very solid contender, I think, and in really good form.
Yeah, wasn't his first win at Sedgefield, which is in the Carolinas, so I think he's a man who likes a certain type of course.
Definitely. Yeah. He was on my mind after that fifth place finish last year.
Yeah, he was fifth last year. He was, as I said, he was leading with a round to go, so he certainly likes the course and has played well there before, which, is, as we say, is important. So I think he'll give us a good account this week.
I think we're all singing from the same hymn sheet this week to a certain extent, because there's not anything that anyone said in here that I've thought, well, that's not right.
No, Moore would have been in my... If I'd had a list of like 6, he would have been in there.
Yeah. You're right, Dave. Wyndham, his first win of his 4 was Wyndham Championship. Yeah, so absolutely, yeah.
What Webb Simpson won as well. Yeah. So, form there.
Which players came closest to making the cut, Dave, for you, apart from the guys that you've gone for this week?
I think Duffner, definitely, is one. Is if you look at his form here, it's all sort of between about 10th and 30th, so he's got loads of steady form here without it being spectacular. We saw him win at the Career Builder, then he had a good week last week, didn't he? Finish strongly. So I think 11th was he last week, I think, after a little dip following his win. Just seems a sort of course where he could play well tee to green, but 25s, I just slightly preferred English and Moore.
Didn't I tip him about 2 or 3 weeks ago when he was 100-1 though? He's collapsed in the market a bit, hasn't he?
And my
he didn't play very well. But
no, he didn't. Yeah, my slight reservation with Duffner is 6 straight weeks playing.
Yeah, that's a reservation for me as well. I did look at him myself. He was on my list.
He's a lean machine now, isn't he?
He's a lean machine now, so maybe he can handle
weeks,
it. It's a long stint.
And last week was a hard week, wasn't it?
A lot of travelling. That's the only thing that really puts me off Duffner.
That and the price.
Yeah. Mike?
And well, Knox, who I've mentioned, who hasn't got good form here, but has now won on tour, hasn't he? He's got that HSBC win to his name. And 52-1, he hits the ball, the ball striking is excellent, so I'd expect to see him play well this week. I'll be watching him in running. I thought I'd be saying that about Streelman as well, but not 66-1, I'm on him at that. Gary Woodland might, he's got a win here. Gary Woodland might play all right here. He's just, I can't see what price he is, is he?
50. Yeah.
Maybe that's about right, to be fair. Another one to watch in running though, he for all that he's a bomber, he actually sometimes plays better on these kind of courses. So I'll be watching Gary Woodland.
Yeah, I think any former winners, I'm pretty close to putting up John Sendon at 125s. I mean, he's got 2 second places there, and then he won here a couple of years ago, and he was 10th.
Yeah, he played well,
Honda,
didn't he,
last time.
In the Honda. That's a sneaky good price, 125s on Sendon. And I had a load of players that I'll just quickly spin through a couple of these. KJ Choi, who's obviously got the form here. He's been playing really good golf on courses that suit him this year. Danny Lee, who's drifted to a nice price at 66-1, actually had a few quid on him to win the money list prior to the season starting, which maybe looks a little bit misplaced now. But he had a chance to win, big chance to win in Phoenix, and he's gone out to 66-1. This is a kind of golf course that's right up Danny Lee's street, in my opinion. And he finished 7th here, having missed the cut in 2014, finished 7th here. Last year, Sung Kang is playing incredibly good golf since getting Fluff Cowan on the bag, and it's whether it's coincidence or not, but since he got Cowan involved, he's 90-1. He's playing really well. So, I mean, I had more, but those are the three that I want to mention.
I thought you might have mentioned Jason Kokrak.
Yeah, he was noted down as well. It's weird because I don't automatically think of this golf course as one that would, you know, suit Kokrak's game.
He's
got a couple of really good finishes here, Kokrak. 14th in 2014, 7th last year. So he could run a good race. I was impressed with him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, second place. Yeah, he played well, didn't he? Mm.
Graham McDowell I looked at, but I think he's got the...
Dave thought I was going to pick him.
He was the one that I thought you were going to pick, yeah.
It's just his debut, isn't it? That puts me off.
Exactly.
That's a big negative, I think. Yeah.
It seems to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think he might go on to play well here. If he has a nice week, I think he'll put this on his schedule. But for now, I think it's a bit of a...
He's impossible to predict as well, isn't he, McDowell? I always think of him like, oh, he's really consistent. He'll play well week to week on golf courses that he likes. But it's not really McDowell's MO. He can just pop up from nowhere. And really, when you think all the stars have aligned for McDowell, he'll let you down, which is a negative for me. But I think the course,
his
course debut is the big thing.
He's 40-1. If you really like him, that's enough to get you involved, isn't it? 40s, but it put me off.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest to making the cut for you, Mike?
Probably Russell Knox.
Probably Duffner. Just I didn't like his price.
I'd have to say Webb Simpson for me. And if he starts well, I'll probably be involved in play at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little look in running. Just I want to see how the new greens go, and you know, whether players whether they like, and just get a feel for it.
Let's recap then, Dave. Your selections.
Yeah. So. In Thailand, I'm going to go for a point each way on Alexander Levy at 25-1.
Yep.
Then in the Valspar, I'm going to have a point each way on Kevin Streelman at 66s and a point each way on Harris English at 33s.
Point each way, Harris English, my only bet this week at 33-1. Mike?
I'll have a point each way on Kevin Streelman as well. Ooh. I'll match your point each way.
I'll see your point. I'll match your point.
And I'll have a point each way on Ryan Moore.
Very good. 40-1, Ryan Moore. Thank you, folks, for tuning into the Golf Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter as well, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. You can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And, of course, you can subscribe to the Golf Podcast and get it delivered weekly via iTunes as well. For myself, Mike and Dave, have a very enjoyable golf betting week, and we'll speak to you next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.